Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome, all of you watchmen, warriors. The battle belongs to the Lord. Stand up and shout out, the battle belongs to the Lord. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are victorious. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wicked things in the heavenly places. And in the name of Jesus, we pull down these strongholds in Jesus' name. So put on the whole armor of God. Be ready with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We use that as a weapon to pull down these any stronghold, and we declare the Lord is our fortress. In the ancient days, where there would be civilized community, they would find protection in strong walls, and they would get behind those. We are declaring the Lord is our fortress and our rock, our deliverer, my God. Say, my God. My strength, in whom we trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. So shall we be saved. Hallelujah. Give him a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Then we'll start moving and dancing. In the name of the Lord, we declare the victory. So we have been asked, in a sense, to be on alert, not to panic. But the White House, the president met with his representatives in the health area, and there is a virus that is trying to take off and become a plague. And so we read that for this season, until the danger passes, that they have some of the airlines, American Airlines, Delta Airlines, United also joined them, that they have right now because of the virus, not because of the people. The people are wonderful. There are, you know, that there are more than 200 million plus believers in China. So we have many brothers and sisters in China. And of course, in the nations. Something major happened also where Great Britain is concerned. By the way, today is their first day free of all the bondages, in a sense, that came. They didn't ask for it. But suddenly it became a little oppressive. Like Richie, my origins are as a British citizen. Now I'm an American citizen. But we all, in a sense, the United States, The origins were settlers from Great Britain primarily that founded this nation. So we send special blessings to Great Britain and congratulate them for achieving. You should have seen some of the celebrations. I saw little snippets of videos of people waving the British flag. There is one of the anthems of Great Britain. We have the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and we have God Bless America. But they have a great, if you've not heard it, I love this hymn that he called, one of the anthems of Great Britain is called Jerusalem. And William Blake, was it? Who wrote the original poem, song, hymn, about he was a great believer and a prophetic voice, and they sing that. If you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire, at the end, they're honoring this special athlete, and they sing that song. But you can put it on YouTube. And anyway, I wouldn't mind playing that sometime tonight, because we want to bless Great Britain, who we have been allies for long, long time, and so we bless it. Now and then, we're going to bring the world map out after a little while. We're going to pray over it and put a protective prayer. So we are going to pray, of course, for blessing on our families, on our children, and then over our region and over our nations, that the Lord will smite this virus that's going around, that's scaring a lot of countries, a lot of agencies, that it could become a plague. There have been several classical, you know, I'm a movie nut. There have been some great movies about this kind of thing. One was by Dustin Hoffman. I forget now what it was. There's one movie, it's called Contagion. And then another one with Brad Pitt, I think, that when you get this virus, you become a zombie. Now, I don't like the thought of becoming a zombie. If you want to become a zombie, raise your hand. You may become a member of a certain political party and become a zombie. I won't say which one. But I'll read to you from Ezekiel 22. Says, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Say hedge. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. So that's part of our spiritual calling here tonight. Part of it is that we are prayer warriors, we are watchmen, and we are intercessors. That's the intercessory duty, that we stand in the gap where there's nobody around. We stand in the gap. If you know the history of the 300 Spartans who basically laid down their lives defending Western civilization when the Persian Empire was conquered, the 300 were standing in the gap, laid down their lives to save their civilization. So we are, as we are in a season of fasting, and when we started the fast, there was not even a hint of this virus. But I believe that it's not by accident that God guided us to go through this season of prayer and fasting. Say prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting.
So again, if this week, if you find 2, 3 days, 4 days, where you want to just eat vegetables or beans or salads, or drink juices only or shakes. Didn't use to, all these tools weren't available many years ago, but now we have them. I don't know what shake Daniel drank. I wish I had. He didn't drink shakes here. He went on a Daniel fast. Daniel fast is recognized by God, and it's just as effective as a regular fast. So people who are unable to physically fast, and they have to have some kind of food, they can do Daniel fast. And that is eating vegetables, no pleasant meat, it says. Or you can stop eating desserts for a while. Anyway, God will honor all of it. That's, we are in a season of prayer and fasting. And we are, in fact, we called out the names at the beginning of our worship time, if you remember. Now, the reason we just, for their privacy, we only call out the first names. But I have the first and last names of all these people. But since we are going on the World Wide Web, they would prefer to be private. That's why, by the way, we call out the names, but the Lord knows who they are. And we pray for it. But tonight we want to pay special attention to the Lord. We want to put a hedge of protection around our nation and other nations, and especially for these provinces in China that have some of them. I mean, it's the assignment they have is, it's almost incomprehensible to be able to shut off 30 million here, 40 million here, that they have for the season. Right now, they're taking all the precautions to prevent the spread of this virus. But behind, I believe that behind certain plagues, there is a spirit. There is, like, for example, and we recognize God has given us part of the gift of the Spirit is the spirit of discernment. And so you'll find that often, for example, addiction is a spirit. It can also be a family line generational curse. You find that, for you look at family history, I've prayed for many people. And when the Lord guides us, He will say sometime, tell us, this is a generational curse. So the grandfather had addiction. The father had an addiction. And now you're praying for the son. Even the son has an addiction. It may be alcohol, but now it could be drugs. And so you pray for them to be healed, but you pray also for them to be delivered from a spirit of addiction. There are seasons also that the enemy pours out, and we are the warriors. You and I have very important role. I appreciate the doctors. I appreciate the research people. Appreciate the people who are like that, the CDC, who do research on communicable diseases. And praise God that you don't, there are certain things that were major fears among populations. For example, in the 1910s, 1920s, and 30s, polio, for example, was a major horrible thing that would attack young people and even older people. We had a president, Franklin Roosevelt, who was attacked by polio at an early age, and he was mostly in a wheelchair all his life. But they found a vaccine. I remember when I was living as a little boy in Africa, that the Salk, S-A-L-K, vaccine came out. And they would simply say, open your mouth, and they would put a few drops of this. Say, how many of you remember, did you get that? Yeah. But now, we don't have that. It's been eradicated, thank God. But this coronavirus, for example, we're going to pray. We're going to stand in the gap as intercessors and tell this plague, potential plague, you cannot come in. We bind you in the name of Jesus. And then we use the weapons of our warfare. Say weapons.
Weapons.
So God has not left us defenseless. And in fact, we should not be fearful, but be warriors. We are prayer warriors, and we're going to believe the word of God. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So there are certain weapons that you can use as individuals, but we are like when a corporate body like us, not just one, but 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 are fasting and praying and seeking the face of God. Our mentor, Derek Prince, an apostle that we discipled under for decades, he was a great believer, but he would say there are weapons, spiritual weapons, and that corporate fast was like a nuclear weapon in the realm of the spirit. That's like no bigger weapon than that. So that's the weapon we have. So we are not defenseless. And therefore, as a community committed to prayer and fasting for the next few days, we quit on February the 13th. Isn't that right? That's 13th. Our last day. So, but in the meantime, if you want to put your name on the prayer list, we still can. Say this day I'm going to fast also. And we'll have certain number. And then there are others on the web who are our followers, part of our spiritual community. They may be in Texas. They may be in San Francisco, which we know they are brothers and sisters. All over spread out who consider themselves very much friends and intercessors and part of this spiritual community. So that's why these are some of our marching orders that we make up the hedge. And God, may there be a hedge of protection over some of these nations that they're doing the most best they could right now by isolating. And so make sure you wash your hands with antibacterial soap and other things. If you are in a big place of gatherings, I mean, I don't know what the natural precautions, I'm informed about some of them, to wear a mask. I don't know how I can wear a mask and preach, but if we can figure that out. But it may help. And I don't. How many of you have visited doctors in the last few weeks? Have you visited a doctor just for a routine test or something? Yeah, I went for my yearly test. And two or three people that were in line with me were just giving their IDs and things like that and their insurance so they could go see the doctor. And the moment they coughed, if they coughed, that person ran out. You can put this on. Thank you very much. And it's all right. That's a natural precaution. But we are tonight going to use our spiritual weapons and put a protection over us. You may say, well, we did that 2 years ago. Well, a year ago, no. We use the weapons every day, the weapons of warfare. And they are mighty, it says, to the pulling down of strongholds. So there is a stronghold that says it's a coronavirus. Well, we're going to bind it in the name of Jesus. And we pray that the Lord will protect us, but also protect. We send a blessing to China. We send a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And may the Lord protect them in China. the Wuhan province is especially strategic. And we pray in Job chapter 1, you find that Job was protected, that the enemy comes and there's a kind of like a discussion between Satan and the Lord. And I don't want to go into the theology of all that I had a discussion about, but one of the things that you find is that Job is a man of the word, and that God has put a special hedge of protection around him and his family. And so we claim in the name of Jesus a hedge of protection over each of you, over each of your children. And then we pray, God, in your mercy, put a hedge of protection over the Carolinas. Lord, put a hedge of protection over our nation and then other nations as the Lord quickens. So hedges are scriptural, and we claim that hedge for us, and that the Lord is our strong tower, as our fortress and a high tower in Jesus' name. So among the things that I want to do, one was the celebration of the United Kingdom, Great Britain, becoming free once again from its constrictions that they many years ago put themselves freely under, but it turned into something that I don't think they exactly thought this is how it would evolve. But they found, even though they were free people and have been for centuries, they came under the yoke of Europe. So anyway, we'll see how it develops. But we send a blessing to Great Britain, to the Queen. May the Lord counsel her, because she has had a few troubles this last few weeks. We won't go into that, but we bless our allies who have been First World War, Second World War, have been some of our best friends. And we bless China. The other thing I just want to share a little bit, if you saw the Watch Focus, our number one, according to, because of the fast, we chose certain subjects each week that we wanted to focus on. And this focus this week is on praying for an awakening, that the United States, our nation would have a national awakening. As last week, we had a March for Life. One of the things we were praying, and it was amazing how many multiple thousands of people marched in Washington, D.C. for God's blessing on America, and in the name of Jesus, stop all these vast amounts of abortions and repent before God of all the abortions that have happened. And God is sensitive about that subject. He does not want his babies to be killed. So we repent of this being allowed in our nation, and we say, it's for me and my house. We are for life. We are against abortion. And that also is a spirit. May the Lord put forgiveness over anyone who has ever had an abortion. But we don't want to condemn anyone. But the whole philosophy of the ability to, at the drop of a hat, to be someone to be allowed to abort their children is an evil thing. And so it is important for us to specifically, from time to time, pray like Daniel prayed. He not only prayed for himself, basically prayed and was an intercessor for the whole people of Israel, of the Jewish people. And he said, Lord, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Forgive us. And Daniel was a righteous man, but he took on behalf of all, he spoke, on behalf of all my people, Lord, forgive us. So in that context then, we also corporately want to pray, Lord, let there be, you see, some of the junk that's happening where our public schools, they emphasize, they want to teach, insist on teaching our children, whether they are 5, 6, 7 years old, all about the perverted lifestyles, according to us, our perception, what the Bible tells us, that that is fine. No, it's not fine before God. And we want to teach our Christian values to our children and not secular people who deny God, deny his, the Word of God. And so we are praying for godly values to be installed. But above all, we know the answer is a great spiritual awakening in our nation. So that's part of our intercessory subject, is that we pray, Lord, as we fast and pray. What are you fasting for? We are fasting and praying for abortion to quit, for these ungodly values that would be promoted. I remember some of our people about a couple of years ago, went to our council meetings in our city. And the people who choose the lifestyle of perverted sexual lifestyle, they were massively gathered there. And most of the Christians, that we there was very little of an appearance unless a few organizations that are kind of alert, and the churches. But the number of people who say we are Christians is awesome. It's amazing. And yet they don't show up at certain times that are strategic. So when the city council was there making laws and all that, they were promoting this specific thing about bringing this thought about that in the area of Charlotte, for example, that men could go to women's bathrooms and they would be fine. They could say, I feel like a woman and you don't look like one. Your birth certificate does not say you are a woman, but they want to use the women's bathroom. And these are some of the specific values that we, that are not our values. And we pray that we can live a godly life, a Bible-believing life, and our children can grow up in that atmosphere. But there's a difference between revival and awakening. Revival means to bring back to life. Awakening is different. It's to wake up, awaken. So, for example, I look at Charlotte, say, are the Christians there? Yeah, how many Christians? Majority in this area Christian. Well, why don't they show up at strategic times where big decisions made? They're, what is happening? They're sleeping. And so we need awakening. Yeah. So it's not dead. It's comatose or sleeping. And there is a special scripture. It's one of my, the book of Mark. And I love one of my favorite books in the Bible. I shouldn't have favorite, but anyway, is Mark. Mark is, I mean, others are a little longer, but Mark summarizes everything. Okay, say it in a few words. Mark says it in a few words, all the major incidents. So then it, while it says in verse 35 in Mark, while he was still speaking, Jesus, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? So he had, the father had come, asked Jesus, Lord, my daughter is severely sick. And so, well, don't bother Jesus anymore. She died about half an hour ago. So don't bother Jesus. As soon as Jesus, it's such a sweet thing. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. So Jesus overhears the people bringing a report to the father. Your daughter just died. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. I remember I was doing this service in Ashland a few years ago, and suddenly the Spirit of God just kind of fell on me, and I started singing, do not be afraid, only believe, only believe, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe, only believe, only believe. I would say that same thing to anyone who is going through a challenge right now. The Lord knows what you're going through, whether it has been a cancer diagnosis or a trouble or an addiction among one of your relatives, whatever it is, we're going to say, do not be afraid. Only believe. because Jesus is on the way. And so, if these are the words of Jesus himself, can you imagine? It's so wonderful. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Now, Jesus already had one of the gifts of the Spirit, we can call it, is the gift of the word of knowledge. If she has died, which she may have, Jesus is another realm. And that's often important to your kind of, as you come to the watch, you'll become, these are postgraduate courses you are in. And we learn the strategies of victory, that you are going to succeed, that you're going to have victorious life, and therefore then you are going to impart faith to other people and you're going to make disciples yourself. And in the time that it's needed, God is going to anoint you to give a word of healing. Here is one of the words. Do not be afraid. Say, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Only believe.
Only believe.
And it's a force. Number one, there is a spirit called spirit of fear. And it can spread. Just like this virus thing, people can go really panic. I mean, I read in the Wuhan right now about 3 weeks ago or so, there was a rush to the hospitals, and they couldn't handle the crowds that were there. By the way, right now, it's like a ghost town. Millions of people, but they're all at home with masks, and they're trying to stay isolated. And so right now, Wuhan is a ghost city. You go to trains that have packed out, I think it has about 14 or 18 million people right in the city itself, Wuhan. And then name of a province. And they have isolated the whole community. But there, you go to major shopping malls, and there is nobody there. You go to the railroad, and they're always packed out, but now they're empty. I was getting a report from, there were Americans. By the way, United States sent a special plane, and they're sending some other plane. To get American citizens home. And I was reading a report even from a gentleman who is on the U.S. citizen, an American, who is on their football team called the Wuhan Berserkers. And He's an American citizen, but he was flying home. But he was giving a report about what he saw, what was happening. So anyway, do not be afraid. So that's, I think, I pray that the spirit of fear will not come. God will give a breakthrough in research, and the answer will come. How many of you remember that when the AIDS virus first came? Mm-hmm. And I did often, I was asked to pray. I went to San Francisco. They were having a movement, and there were several, there was a Vineyard Church and others, during the main time of the AIDS virus, I would have so many young men come up for prayer. And at that time, there were no answers. This is talking about, more than 30 years ago almost. And there was no answer. And it would break your heart to see this people who there were 19, 20, 21, and they had the AIDS virus. There was no answer. Anyway, but it was because of a lifestyle that the Bible says is not appropriate. Anyway, so Jesus permitted, verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Say, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." Now, this is, if you took the blood pressure or the pulse, it would tell you this person is dead. But the Lord is now seeing in the realm of the glory. And so, the Lord, we pray as we get closer and closer to God, the Lord will use us individually and corporately to be anointed in such a way that what you see in reality is not the final reality. God is on the way, and he is going to do something awesome. And I'll tell you, in that then, as we grow in faith, God makes you and commissions you to become an ambassador of the glory. So you are not there just to say, "Well, we've done all we could. The child is dead." You got to. There is another reality. And I'm not saying that we ignore what is there. But God is on the move. Jesus is on the move. And so we are not going to just take. There are times where we have had this kind of challenge. And it's so powerful here. The child is not dead. Why make this commotion weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Now, something like this, in a sense, happened some years ago here in this community. Katie, you were part of us, so when we were meeting in the tent, and that told us that this girl, this guitarist named Lynn, had been in a coma for several days, and now her kidneys had shut down, her liver was no longer functioning at all, and she was on life support. And at that time, it's just, we need to maybe make a small book out of this, I think, because it's been some years, people need to hear this. And Manu was part of it, and the Lord had given me a word a couple of days before, while I was landing in Chicago early. I had to do a miracle service in Chicago, and the Lord spoke. It was a weird thing. We landed, I'd gone to sleep. I'd gone to sleep regular sleep from 4 o'clock, and I had to get up at 7, catch the plane to Chicago. So I fell asleep in the plane. And as the plane landed, I heard the word, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And I thought he was joking with me, but it was, anyone could say, "Wake up." But this was the Lord saying, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." I thought he was calling me Sleeping Beauty. So I went so clearly, I remember walking through O'Hare Airport, Chicago, looking at the history of O'Hare. It was named after a hero in the Second World War. And I was reading the word. And then that scripture came again, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." I said, "Lord, I'm not asleep." And I said, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And he did an amazing, unique miracle in Chicago. But I'll have to fill in the gap there sometime, because that was an amazing miracle happened in Chicago. I came back and Bonnie said, "That prayer request, desperately, they want you to come to Nashville. This girl is on life support. They said his kidneys are no longer functioning and she's dying." And that's where I was doing communion here, in the tent. And the Lord spoke again, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And I knew who was a Sleeping Beauty then. But on the way, others were being healed in the glory. Just like woman with the issue of blood, while they were walking. And I believe that that's a challenge for each of us and we as a body, that as we walk along with the Lord, we may think we're headed over there and that's our aim, but on the way, God's going to heal many people. So we are not static. In the anointing, you're going to be moving. God will do miracles in your employment. He's going to do miracles in your business, but that's on the way. But don't stop recognizing that the miracles are happening on the right and on the left, because you are staying in the anointing and in the glory, in your relationship in the glory. What do you mean by that? Just keep your atmosphere of faith. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and He is the King of glory. And let the King of glory come in. Wherever I am, the King of glory is with me, and mighty things are happening through you, through the anointing that God's commissioning you in this atmosphere, that you will be an emissary of miracles. You yourself are going to have miracles, and you're going to impart miracles wherever. And therefore, in that, doing communion, that's why. So the glory often is, as you start taking communion, get in the glory. There is a presence. And the Lord spoke. And I, right then, said, "I need two men to drive me to Nashville." And the scenario, we took 9 hours with some of the biggest storms. It was like the devil was trying to prevent us from getting to Nashville. And as I went to the waiting room of the intensive care, the scenario was just like this, that basically packed out because she was very well known, lead guitarist of a quite well-known singing woman singing group. The whole packed out. And her mother had flown from New Zealand to spend the last hours with her daughter because she was going to pass. And I had one phrase, wake up Sleeping Beauty. And now she was in a coma and they were basically waiting for permission to pull the plug. And I remember part of this brings me, and it's kind of connected with awakening. Because her mother was there, she was crying, and all the people, friends, they were crying. And the two guys with me that I came from the church here, were with me. And I said, you, come with me. With the two, I pointed to Ken, I think Ken, who, I'll remember who it was. But I told the mother, stay outside. Huh? Yeah, but the ones in Nashville themselves, the people who, yeah. Ken's son, Scott and Debbie, yeah. And why would I tell the mother, stay out? I still don't understand all of it, because I just wanted people who were congruent to the Spirit of Glory. That they want, I'm trying to look back, and I said, but the glory was right there. And I didn't want anyone to hinder the flow of the Lord. And I went to her bed and she was in the coma. And I took her hand and said, hi, Lynn. And I said, wake up, Sleeping Beauty. And walked out of there. And she woke up. And with the kidneys had shut down, several other things that, and in 3 days' time, she was completely recovered. And she showed us the bill of, it was the days she was there in a coma, it was already several hundred thousand. And they put on the bill, paid in full, we had nothing to do with your healing. Yeah. And yeah, and she came, she gave her testimony here. But basically they would all given up as far as in the natural. But we are connected with something totally amazing and awesome. That's why we can stand against the plague of coronavirus and say, you may be the spirit of part of the plagues that have before, but we tell you in the name of Jesus, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Thus far and no further, you will not progress anymore. Leave those poor people in Wuhan alone. Be gone in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus for our Chinese brothers and sisters. We plead the blood of Jesus over every province that this spiritual demonic force called coronavirus, whatever virus it is, we want to declare over you Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anyway, but she is not dead. She is sleeping. And so, awakening. And remember, whatever the condition, Jesus in John 11 says, I am the resurrection and the life. So, and then they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Say, I say to you, arise. Oh, I say to you, wake up. Now, she may have been dead. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be accurate in the glory. We speak life. And Talitha kumi. Say Talitha kumi. And that's what we say. That in a larger sense, the church is asleep. But do we need the awakening? Yeah, we need the awakening. Yeah. So as the church is woken up, then if you're asleep and in a coma, there's no way you can be in the battle. So awakening comes first. Then we become the warriors. So wherever, and of course I commend you all, you are here because you are awakened. You're not asleep. And we say arise to ourselves. Yeah. Wake up. Wake up to your destiny. Don't miss the moment. And the day is at hand. And if we are awake, then awake to your purpose, awake to your destiny. That if there are people who went through a moment, see, one of the best example of awakening for me in the Bible, that there are a lot of people, Jacob was asleep, and then he woke up, and there was an angel, and then, you know, he wrestled with the angel. Jonah was asleep, was thrown in the sea. But the best awakening experience for me is the Bible. There are several that we are awakened enough so we do not miss the moment. And the prodigal son is one of the supreme examples of awakening coming to him, because you go through a transformation. He is walking far away from God. He has rebelled. He has lived in it. Today he would be a cocaine addict or something like that, far from home. And suddenly, the spirit touches, the spirit of awakening comes. And prodigal son, if you read it, he comes to himself. Basically, he has an experience of awakening and does not miss the moment. He could have said, well, I'm here with the pigs, eating pig food, smelling like a pig. No, he has an awakening and a transformation. I'm going to rise up and go to my father's house. Yeah. Even the servants eat better than what I'm doing. But he has a transformation. And he repents before his father as he comes. There is a change. We pray for all the millions of addicts. May the spirit that came upon the prodigal son come. And if you have family members who are addicted or who need to come to the Lord, we pray, may the spirit of awakening come so that there is a grace not only to come to Jesus, but to be transformed and to change the direction. I was reading about there's a movie about 20 years ago called DuckTales or The Duck Club, whatever. Anyway, it was about the little group of kids who joined this baseball team of some kind of, and they get a cut, huh? Yeah.
Hockey team.
Yeah, that's right. But there was a story about him that he was really growing up to be great, and then he got trapped by drugs and became a meth addict. And you look at a picture of him, and he's horrendous. You could see the face of the prodigal son. He had given up and became totally addict. And by the way, one of the worst. I prayed for a lot of people with different kinds of addictions. And methamphetamines are some of the worst. They eat the brain cells. They become, you think, almost not human. It's such a destructive power. So we do. These are spiritual forces that may God give us victory. But anyway, so the spirit of awakening, we're praying that we would wake up and that it would be like a total transformation for our nation. It would not be piecemeal. It wouldn't be, well, this is a perverse lifestyle. God says, don't do this. May the awakening come. People wake up in such a mighty way that they'll go through total transformation and they give themselves to the Lord. I've known over all these years people who had so much of a chance. They were anointed. They were blessed. They were around mighty things, but not the transformation. We need to see our destiny, individual, corporate, and give. Like the prodigal son, he went, said, I'm going to shake my shoes out of this pig pen and go to my father's house, repent. And he got the inheritance. So may the awakening come to our nation in Jesus' name. And reach your destiny. Do not get small things discourage us and make, well, I'm offended. Someone did not speak kindly to me. There are fine times where known people who, because the ushers gave them directions, don't park here, please, park there. They got offended immediately. I saw some before my eyes. A woman got offended because the ushers said, these are parking spaces for this. It was, I think, during a conference. And they were watching out for the speaker's cars and the musician's cars. And because they said, this is parking space for, could you mind, just there are lots of space over there. No. They went, got offended. I said, oh, Lord, don't get offended easy. Forgive. Don't miss your destiny. I don't know why I read this quick, and then I'll stop here. But, you know, Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, he had this idea of the 11 herbs and spices, and he had what's that cooking stove? just the pressure cooker. Sorry, it was a pressure cooker. He had one. And he was just kind of poor. He had one pressure cooker, and he had dreamed of these 11 herbs. He knocked on 300 doors, and they were not interested. Finally, after 300 attempts, he finally found someone who was interested. And that's how Kentucky Fried Chicken became an industry. And it's almost any nation on earth has Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he didn't give up. May we have a destiny as a church, and you have a destiny. We're not going to miss. May you have blessing as you serve the Lord, and may the church hear a new cry prophetically, wake up, sleeping beauty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Put your hands up. In fact, stand up for a moment. Put your hands out. May the fresh glory for 2020 come on each of you. May you be commissioned to fulfill your destiny. May you finish writing that book. May you start that business. May you be anointed to be able, that vision God has for you. May the spirit of awakening come on us. And Lord, I welcome the Holy Spirit over this area to give us the awakening that we are praying for, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for each of us. And Lord, pour it out on your church, the spirit of awakening. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth in deep darkness, but your glory will be seen upon us. And Lord, we speak blessing and release. We want to have the anointing to say to nations, wake up, sleeping beauty. We send a special blessing to Great Britain. We send a special blessing to China, to our brothers and sisters there. Break the power of this coronavirus. Anoint your church. Let us help us, Lord. We stand in the gap. We stand in the hedge, Lord, say, stop in the name of Jesus. You will kill no more people. Lord, give them the solution. Give them the vaccine. Anoint us, Lord. You know, what I would like to do is someone to bring out the world map, if you will. And Sabi, come over here. Someone who's battling a severe sickness. You needed prayer. Raise your hand.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.